Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here in Miami, it's Cody and Gold. Our big game coverage presented by HCA Midwest Health. We'll get to our prop bet of the hour and also something maybe we haven't spent enough time about when it comes to this Chiefs defense and specifically one guy getting pressure on the quarterback. That's about 10 minutes or so away, but we're back here at the TicketSolutions.com table. Excited to have our next guest joining us, and all guests are brought to you by Rufus Teague Barbecue. We've got their barbecue cans. They look like beer cans, the Cano-Q. It's drawn plenty of attention from everybody, and the latest is Steve Wyche, NFL Network reporter. You can follow him on Twitter at Wyche89. Also on Super Bowl Sunday, NFL game day morning on NFL Network, providing 8.5 hours of pregame coverage from Miami starting at 9 a.m. Eastern time. So, yeah, you're running around all over the place. 8.5 hours come Sunday, huh?
8.5 hours. I tell you, that's 2.5 times longer than the actual game. Okay, so that, my friend, is coverage. That is coverage right now. We'll have, you know, soup to nuts. But that's what we do at the NFL Network. It's an insatiable appetite, so we got to feed the beast.
Hey, in Kansas City, you imagine how? I imagine we just won't go to bed after the game, No matter the result. So
that's usually the case.
That's probably the way that's
going to
go.
I mean, it's not like the fans are passionate or anything, right? No, look, I'm a Missouri boy, man, so I know how Chiefs fans are. This game is going to be fantastic. I'm so happy for the city and Andy Reid and this organization to get this opportunity. They've built something to this point. They nailed it, you know, with the landing of Patrick Mahomes. They've got arguably the most exciting offensive team in the NFL, so I'm thrilled to death that the folks are from the east side of Missouri, but the folks on the west side are getting a chance to really enjoy this.
Our guy BK here is moving back to St. Louis.
Right on, man.
Let me BK. Let me ask you this. Emos, good or bad?
I'm down with the emos.
Oh,
man.
No, it's so bad. I was hoping you'd say bad and we could just be like, yes, we agree.
No, what about you, man? Are you an emos guy?
BK says no.
Come on.
Boo. He's fine with toasted ravioli. He just doesn't
want
better
be. I mean, that's part of the staples. I mean, that means he was raised right, which means in St. Louis you have your first Anheuser-Busch product by the time you're 12. Okay. Right? Well, how old are you? 13 when you had it?
10. BK says 10.
Yeah, okay.
So you know what high school you went to, right? Isn't that always
the
thing?
Yeah, that's the go-to. That's the cast. Uh-huh. That's the St. Louis cast system. So you tell them what high school. No, you went there. Okay, I know how you raised. I know where you live. Oh, you went there? Can I hang out with you? Yeah, that's the go-to.
You mentioned Andy Reid and being happy for him. It's on both sides. A lot of people are all in with the Shanahan family, and a lot of people all in on the Reid family. It's kind of a weird dynamic, but also very cool just in terms of the respect factor, I think, across the entire league and entire NFL community.
Right. I mean, look, so let's start out with Kyle Shanahan. I mean, he is now becoming his own man. He was always Mike Shanahan's son, but we've seen the evolution of his growth and what he's done. And just become just a fantastic head coach. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people are very excited for him because they know, you know, he's kind of starting out on this venture. Whereas Andy Reid, you know, we all know the capstone to a great coaching career is for him to get the Super Bowl victory. I mean, he's had this unbelievable coaching tree. He's had this unbelievable run of success. Wonderful, wonderful man. But he doesn't have that Super Bowl. So I think a lot of people really, you know, kind of, hey, let's get this done for Andy Reid. Let's do this. Other people are like, you know, hey, if Andy can't beat Kyle, then, you know, hey, maybe, you know, we've seen kind of a transition, kind of a passing of the torch in the NFL and a lot of things this year, like the Patriots not being in the Super Bowl. So maybe we'll see it in this game if Kyle Shanahan takes over.
One of those guys who should be coming off of Andy Reid's coaching tree, we thought, was Eric Bieniemy.
Yes.
And I know that Goodell addressed some of the Rooney Rule issues yesterday, but you've been outspoken about.
Yes, I have been.
There's two guys in this game, seemingly, who were more fitting for a couple of jobs that they didn't get.
Right.
What is the problem? Like, is there a fix? What is the issue the NFL still has?
Yeah, there's a fix, and that's for the owners who do the hiring to hire the best potential candidate. And sometimes they will hire the hot young coach. And I mean, I hate to name names. Let's say Zach Taylor. Okay. Zach Taylor was the quarterback coach who never called plays for the Rams last year, but because he was on the staff with Sean McVay, he gets a head coaching job in Cincinnati. Well, Eric Bieniemy We all know he calls plays from time to time for Andy Reid. But, you know, Frank Reich didn't, Doug Peterson didn't, and they got head coaching jobs. So it looks just absolutely obvious why Eric Bieniemy is not getting the job. So, look, I look at it this way. If the Cleveland Browns didn't hire him, you know, he's got to use that as fuel. So when the right opportunity does come up, he's in a good situation to succeed. But for the league, we heard Roger Goodell basically say there will be changes in the Rooney Rule, because if they're not, he has no faith in ownership. He said this to do anything different than it's done.
And so, they pay him. So
and they pay him. So he's basically saying, you know, I think what you're going to see is probably the requirement that you have to interview more than one minority candidate for head coaching jobs, GM jobs. I think it's going to go to the coordinator ranks. And then, you know, you're probably going to see something, because the big issue, the big concern of the people I talk with, these diversity coaching candidates, is the quality control coaches, these entry-level jobs. These are going to the Suns and a lot of younger coaches that are not of color. And that's where you look 2 years from now, your quality control guy is going to be your assistant quarterback coach, and then your quarterback coach, and now he's in the pipeline. And that's where you need to get some coaches of color and GM candidates of color in the pipeline. And so it is an issue. The league has been trying to say, hey, owners, we're telling you this is a good thing to do. Use your conscience. Be right. And then they're just – it's not happening. And another big issue, and I'm sorry I'm talking long on this, is when the head coaches make their hire, the head coaches get hired, the coordinators they're hiring look like them. And part of it is because we have so many young head coaches. They've only been coaching in the NFL 5-6 years. Their volume of people in the business who could come in of diversity is very small.
There aren't that many coordinator positions.
Well, there aren't that many coordinators.
No, I'm saying that are spread out. Like you said, there aren't that many coordinator positions who, like guys like Eric Bieniemy have.
Well, no. But, I mean, look, we had what, 5 coaching changes this year?
Yeah.
Look, they all hired coordinators. Not many of them were of color, offense, defense, or special teams. Ron Rivera, the one head coach who is a minority hire. Jack Del Rio and Scott Turner.
Yeah.
He had an opportunity there, and he didn't do it. So, I mean, the domino is in full swing right now. And I think that's why, you know, people see what could be coming 2 or 3 years down the line when it comes to the lack of diversity hiring among head coaches and GMs.
Steve Weiss joining us here on Cody and Gold. Steve Weiss of NFL Network, again, part of Super Bowl Sunday NFL Game Day mornings coverage, 8.5 hours of pregame from Miami starting at 9 a.m. Eastern on Sunday. Robert Saleh, you had a piece you put together, I think, a day or two ago.
Right, it ran on Tuesday, I believe.
Okay, so a little bit earlier on this week about him. Everybody, you've seen him on camera nonstop this season, and they have probably this intimidating, enthusiastic guy in their mind. But you had a chance to spend some more time with him. Is that how he is all the time?
No, he's one of these people. We've all met people like this in our life. Even if you speak to him once or twice, you're like, man, there's something about this guy where I'm walking away a little bit better in terms of smarter or a presence. You know, you hear about presence. He's one of those guys who's, you know, first off, he looks like a superhero, right? Like he could be in a Marvel movie. But when you talk to him, he's very, intellectual, but not super, you know, hey, I'm gonna show you how smart I am type of guy. You're just like, man, this guy's telling me something. And that's why, and it's a story, you know, I was told to it by the people involved. Kevin Stefanski was a Cleveland Browns guy all along, right? But when they interviewed Saleh, they were like, well, wait a second. This guy, we kind of want him to be here. There's something about him that could make our building better. And, of course, they went with Kevin Stefanski. But that's, you know, there's nobody with the 49ers hierarchy who believes that Robert Saleh is going to be their longtime DC. They know that someone's going to come and poach him very soon.
When you're looking at the actual game as we speak here, on the TicketSolutions.com table, when you look at the actual game, I tend to think high scoring because I haven't seen anyone slow down the Chiefs offense for some time, or at least over the last 2 seasons. It's maybe happened once, and that was just seemed like a cavalcade of errors that happened in that. And, you know, the 49ers offense is top tier too. It's not as good as the Chiefs, but it is very good. Do you think it's going to be as high scoring as I do?
Okay, here comes. I'm gonna sit right back here and hit you with the Nerf gun.
Oh, no.
Pow. Guess who averaged more points per game this season?
I know, the Niners. Do you know who? Wait. On the opposite side, guess who let up less points on defense?
Right, the Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
How about that?
Like,
how about
this
that
goes both ways.
Isn't that amazing how this is a talking point that everyone, because of what we've seen in the playoffs, like, oh, my God, the Chiefs can light, score 100 points. And
yes.
And that, And the Chiefs held teams to fewer points than the Niners, and the Niners scored. I think that is a really cool, like, analytical nugget, which probably will have no factor in this game.
No.
Because I'm with you. I think the coaches are too brilliant for this to be a low-scoring game. And both these teams can score points in a hurry. And that's – the winner of this game is going to be the team that prevents the other team from dropping touchdowns on three consecutive possessions or going on the type of run we saw the Chiefs go on, like, the second half – or, in the second quarter of that game against Tennessee. If you can prevent that type of run, then you've got a chance. Because these teams don't turn the ball over. These teams don't commit a lot of penalties. So I think it's going to be a clean game. And just the overall speed in this game on both sides of the ball is just going to be something fun to watch.
Let's get our Brancato's catering prediction from Steve Weiss. So how's it going down on Sunday?
I am going with the 49ers. I mean, I think it's probably an unpopular pick because we see Pat Mahomes is kind of the swing vote, as he should be. But I think the 49ers are overall a better team. I think their speed on defense is going to be a little bit problematic.
Steve Weiss, NFL Network, thanks so much for stopping by. We'll be watching there a little bit on Sunday morning.
Hey, hope you're something some barbecue or donuts.
Or that is not a donut. That is a donut shop in one. Those, in one
you notice there's knives to cut these. These are not small donuts.
A chainsaw to cut that, man.
Steve Weiss, NFL Steve. Network, you got it. We appreciate that. Follow him on Twitter as well, at Weiss89. This segment of our coverage in Miami brought to you by TicketSolutions.com and Northwest Missouri State University in Kansas City. We're about 15 minutes away from your next chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. Also, Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride expected to stop by as well as we continue our fifth day of Radio Row here on Cody and Gold. Great stuff from him talking about Eric Bieniemy and the dynamic that needs to change with the Rooney Rule. And he said,
I don't know what changes fix other than saying he interview multiple. That puts more people
in. If you bump
front.
It from one required interview to two, if we get to two, but none of them are, you know, no minority candidates are being hired, then it doesn't change anything whatsoever.
Yeah,
it still
maybe,
is going to come down to being hired. It changes the perception, but that was the Rooney Rule clearly does not work.
I think if you bring it to multiple people at lower positions, not just coordinators, maybe get those interviews. And then maybe people think of them as coordinators, even if they don't think of them as head coaches. It's more people in places of power. I understand what he's saying. I'll take any changes because, like you said right now, it simply does not work. He also mentioned the we talk about the offense and the defense because people might not realize the 49ers average more points on offense and that the Chiefs average less points allowed on defense, which we talked about in the roundtable with Bob and Josh earlier on Fesco in the morning. There's a part of that that I think is absolutely going to play a factor that we've kind of been, I don't know, playing down a little bit because what had happened was we talked all this time about what was going to happen when Patrick Mahomes got healthy, right? Was it Patrick Mahomes get healthy? What's going to happen? How's this going to go? Patrick Mahomes get healthy. And once it did, we saw the results. And I know that it's been a shorter injury, but these last 2 weeks for Chris Jones could have a significant impact on just how good defensive they could be. We gave the stats last time and how much pressure they got when he was on the field versus not. It's all season. Next Gen Stats put out a stat today. The Chiefs' pass rush has been more effective this postseason with Chris Jones on the field. How about this? Chris Jones on the field, 39% pressure rate. Chris Jones off, 18%. They are twice as effective this postseason when he's on the field. And if he gets 2 weeks to rest, you got a pretty good shot he's going to be on the field the majority of the time.
Would imagine the amount of snaps in his role after 2 weeks from that calf injury that we all know he played with and tried to go even against the Texans, couldn't. It was pretty remarkable to me that he was even able to be effective against the Titans. You saw it immediately against Ryan Tannehill. When they initially had him just playing on obvious passing downs, later in the game it became more often than that, certainly right before the half when they had the three and out, he was on the field for all three of those plays. But he caused havoc and forced Ryan Tannehill to throw the ball earlier than he wanted to. And so there's no doubt the role that he can play in a healthy Chris Jones is a huge positive. This whole team is pretty healthy. Pretty much both teams are healthy heading into the Super Bowl. And so, Chris Jones, I felt like, and I think I said it yesterday, though, that him being on the field for only 28 snaps against the Titans and them having the success they did defensively in a way I felt like made it even easier, though, to part ways with him to some extent. I mean, he was
always better when they
were
on the field.
When he was on the field, they were able to get more pressure on the quarterback, but I think they still looked at it as it is it a necessity for this team going forward. And so that's – I think the stat is pretty amazing on the pressure rate, but I still look at it and say they've shown against the Texans even. They were able to get pressure on Deshaun Watson. They were able to slow down the rushing attack of Carlos Hyde without Chris Jones. I mean, that's the flip side of it. But clearly, for this game, this game on Sunday, yeah, I love that pressure stat. They need him out on that field to get pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo and also cause some havoc, hopefully, in the rushing game as well.
I think, obviously, he can
and
make
we gave
a difference
Pinnell,
in the
rushing game. We gave Pinnell a lot of credit in there.
Chris Jones is good against the run.
People try to think he's bad
against the run. It's not true. He's good against the run. He's not the most excellent player against the run of all time. He's very good against the run. So that should be played into this, too. That's not, you know, the end-all, be-all conversation, but it absolutely exists within that. I think you just have to count on him. You know, the four players for the 49ers who can all get to the quarterback, yeah. But the Chiefs have more than people want to give credit. Chris Jones is excellent at getting to the quarterback. Frank Clark is really good. And some of those other guys have been, he might be excellent too. Some of those other guys have really been the beneficiary. I think this is like the same conversation we have as like, hey, the Chiefs are better when Sammy Watkins, offensively over the last two seasons, the Chiefs are better when Sammy Watkins is on the field. I don't think that's an accident. I think the reason they're better when Sammy Watkins is on the field is because they have to legitimately respect him. With Frank Clark and Chris Jones eating up so much of your attention,
it's not an
accident. Tano Passanio's had his best year. Tano Passanio caused pressures in both of the last.
Yeah, this scheme is great for him too. No doubt about that. What was Steve Spagnuolo like? This is like a perfect system for him. But there's no.
He's helped because they're just gonna like. He gets to just take on one guy every time. Beat that one guy. Study that one guy. Deal with that one problem, and you're done. Because the double team's never coming your way, right? Ever. Ever. Ever.
So Chris Jones, we'll see what that pressure rate is going to be like on Sunday for the Chiefs as they take on the 49ers. This portion of our coverage brought to you by TicketSolutions.com and Pepper Jack's Grill. Reminder about 12 minutes away from a chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. Also, Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, he's actually right in front of us now. He's going to stop by, join us for about a half hour. We'll get into this game with him and also get his opinion on what this punishment and reward needs to be for me. Plus, Ryan Fitzpatrick caught up with Fesco in the morning. You'll hear from Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I think all of Kansas City wants just to give a big hug and a big thank you to, and we haven't had a chance to do that until Fesco and the guys got to do that. And the current, well, I guess a lot of people are wondering about Ryan Fitzpatrick's future as well, but more importantly, people in Kansas City want to know, would he agree to come to KC to bang the drum?
Well, we'll find that out in a minute. He did, by the way, he's in a pretty good mood, which I like. He's in a pretty good mood. He said he understood that people would do that, and we'll play that audio coming back once we hear from Pete, right? So we'll listen to that at least a little bit and get an idea of where Fitzpatrick – it's nice. It's nice that we got to say thank you on that end. Who doesn't appreciate that?
All right, final call. Final call for reward if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. I said I would do anything.
Shave his chest, shave his legs.
Whatever it may be. I said I'll be just about anything if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. I said it a week or two ago. We need to narrow this down to five. We've got a short list, but there's still time for submissions over on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line 69306. So we're going to compile these. By the end of the show, we're picking one of them. Serta and Cody get the first two picks, and then I get one refusal, essentially. We'll kind of figure it out.
That's
and see
fair.
How we do.
I get one refusal.
You know, I still have to agree.
You get one.
We're going to have some fun, but I'm also not going to be an idiot about it either in terms of
we'll give you veto power. That's
definitely
fair.
Not doing tattoo. I've told people that already. But there's some other ones. We've got some good submissions, so we'll take a look at those as well, and we'll see what we come up with. I have a feeling there's two or three that I know where we're headed on this already.
Yeah,
based off of yesterday.
That's a fair assumption. Before we get to break, why don't we go ahead and do your prop bet of the hour? We do one every single hour here on Cody and Gold because, well, I don't want to just lift out props bet and do it.
There's a thousand of them.
There's a million. Why wouldn't we do it?
The latest has to do with the national anthem. That's always the debate and, you know, how long is it going to go? Are words going to be missung, I should say. And, well, Demi Lovato, national anthem. She'll be singing it on Sunday here at the Super Bowl. Over 2 minutes or under 2 minutes, minus 220 is the favorite, which is the over, under plus 180. So the favorite is that she's going to go over 2 minutes. A little research for you on this.
She's a long singer.
Lovato blazed past 2 minutes when she sang at the Mayweather-McGregor fight in 2017. Prior to that, though, they were all outdoors. and she was shy of the two-minute mark. So that Mayweather-McGregor was indoors, and she went way over. So that's most recent. But do you factor in indoor-outdoor here?
I do not.
I'm going over.
I just factor in this is a huge thing she's singing the national anthem for, which obviously everything she sings the national anthem for is probably a pretty huge thing. But it's the Super Bowl. I'll take the over and feel pretty good about it. Sort of, you ever bet the anthem? I've actually done that.
No. It's just not one of my favorite prop bets of the Super Bowl. I don't really care for it.
Fair enough. You taking the over or the under on this one?
I'll say over. She's long-winded.
She is. It's true.
I think there's a reason why it's the favorite. That's where most people think that is headed. So we have some other crazier ones that we'll do a little bit later on that are out there. I mean, there's so many options. You guys can let us know what you would take as well. 69306. Did you see the Tom Brady photo that went viral yesterday? It was him in a shadow essentially walking away, potentially, maybe.
I just heard that like sad music from that sad piano music from like the old Hulk movie. You don't know what I'm talking about. It's a very specific reference that Serta probably understands what I mean, but maybe just him. Just imagine
those are the best ones, usually.
Just imagine sad piano music. I'm not saying sometimes I don't make references people don't understand. I'm
Wait,
just saying,
the first movie or the old TV show?
The old TV show, like when he's, I think it's the TV show, when he's like walking down the side of the road with his thumb out and that sad piano music plays.
Yeah, that was the intro to every episode.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. I'm glad you know what I'm talking about. I can hear it in my head. Please come back with that later. That's fine. Don't worry about it. You'll have to hear it. It will make sense. I'll play for you in the break.
The photo itself, the theory, and I actually agree with this, as people have said, Tom Brady just trying to get attention.
Of course he is.
Super Bowl week, he's not in the Super Bowl. So he sends that out there. He gets people talking about his future. And apparently it has nothing to do with football. That's what like sources have told other people.
He's just attention hungry. That's it. It's a Super Bowl week, and he's not in it, and he wants people to pay attention to him.
And here we are. We're talking about him,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, right? Look, it worked. Our coverage brought to you by TicketSolutions.com and Northwest Missouri State University of Kansas City.
Coming up next, a chance at $1,000. And Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride Plus, Fesco in the Morning, caught up with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You want to hear that. What did he have to say based on what KC wants to say to him?
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
All right, first of all, you know you've become a cult hero in KC for beating the Patriots, right?
I've heard. I've got some family in Kansas City, and they've been filling me in, yeah.
What are they telling you?
Well, just the energy around Kansas City after that last game, and, you know, obviously getting the bye and everything was huge. Then I've had steaks sent to my house as well that have been very tasty, so thank you very much.
Did you realize at that time how much that meant to Kansas City by getting that win, or did that like all start trickling in like days afterwards?
No, I mean, I knew as a football fan kind of what was going on and the implications of each game at that point. But we knew, basically for me, I knew that it was a huge game for New England.
And also, too, fans want you to come to Kansas City and bang the drum and be there to kind of lead the cheer for a game. I mean, if you decide to retire, which you shouldn't, by the way, but if you do decide to retire, will you come to Kansas City and bang that drum for us?
I would love that, yes. I think that would be great.
And everything will be free. We'll take care of everything for you.
Okay. Well, I like that, too, even more.
And everybody knows we're here in the Super Bowl because of you, so thank you very much.
Oh, I appreciate it.
That was Ryan Fitzpatrick with our own Bob Fesco. A couple things. First off, the end, like as if Ryan Fitzpatrick needs anybody to pay for anything for him if he comes to Kansas City.
No, it seems like Bob's going to pay for everything.
I think that's settled, and Fitzpatrick's
good
getting
news.
Free steaks sent to his house, and there you go. It's done. He would be willing to bang the drum.
I'm not.
That petition worked.
The only way I'm going to be able to pay for everything is if I win $1,000, which you can now. Do you see that transition?
You are a professional. You are.
Text the code word NEAT to 72881. This is NEAT. NEAT. Be $1,000 cash winner, international cash contest. Win up to $8,000 each weekday. Just listen on the 30s. Next chance coming up at 12:30. Text NEAT to 72881. I'm glad he got steaks into his house, too. That's a nice little touch.
Our big game coverage presented by HCA Midwest Health joining us here as all our guests at the TicketSolutions.com table and brought to you by Rufus Teague Barbecue. You heard his voice already. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride. What's up, man?
Hello. We are very close to the game now.
Finally.
We weren't before. Now we are.
Dangerously close.
Right. It is, you could throw a rock
at it if it were an object. Like, that's how I feel about it right now.
You could throw a conceptual rock towards
the... Mahomes could hit it on Monday. Now we have a better chance at you know, hypothetically hitting this game.
We've really got down a weird road here just immediately. Off to a good start. Pete, were you one of the people who sent steaks to Ryan Fitzpatrick's house?
I didn't, but I'm glad that somebody did, and it would be great to have him at Arrowhead Stadium to bang the drum on the trademark drum deck, hashtag drum deck.
I did openly encourage people to donate to his charity. That's got to count for
something. That's been done before for other guys.
Yeah, Alex Smith, I remember when he was traded away, we sort of spearheaded a thing, and he ended up getting a lot of money from it, and just to thank Alex for his time and everything. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl on Sunday, he is going to be a key part of that. Like,
we might not be here right now even doing the show if it's not for Fitzpatrick.
What he did was the equivalent of a win. I mean, you forget that. Like, you didn't have to win four games. You could only win three. Like, that is it was an incredible part of the Chiefs' run here.
When you're looking at you said the game's really close, Pete. Mm. We know that. So it turns out it's less than 3 days away now. When you're looking at what Kansas City needs to do to win, one of the conversations we had earlier was, we're pretty sure they'll win if, like, these three things happen. And mine were, I'm not even saying, like, astronomical. Like, if I said, they shut him out.
Yeah.
They get eight picks. I just said, if Patrick Mahomes has a normal game, like, not his first bad game of his career, I'd feel like there's a pretty good shot in there. If they can just, if they can force the ball into Jimmy Garoppolo's hands, I'd feel pretty good. And I'd like him to get at least one turnover. Is there some standard in which you're looking for Kansas City to do to feel like they win this, or
it's very simple. If you want to point to one thing, and it's a little boring for, I think, even the casual football fan, it's pass pro. If Patrick Mahomes is protected by the offensive line, if he feels confident in that, where he's not going to get sacked by the likes of our old friend D Ford and Bosa, and he feels like, okay, I can step up, I have a lane here if I want to, where he sees green grass and he could run like we saw late in the season, and he's not getting hit, he's not uncomfortable, Chiefs are going to win this game. I think it's just being so overlooked from a national standpoint. Like, Patrick Mahomes is not only better than Jimmy Garoppolo, he is so much better. The fact that there's all these national heads picking the 49ers is just incredible to me, remains incredible to me. Like, why has everyone suddenly forgotten that the better quarterback is a huge advantage?
I also don't understand this idea that the rosters are so drastically, like, the Chiefs roster is so much worse. That doesn't sound right at all.
I mean, I do think if you go top to bottom 1 through 53, I do think the Niners have the edge. But as Pete just said, when one of those guys on your team is that drastically better than the other guy at the quarterback spot with Mahomes, that to me, it's almost into discussion to a certain extent. I mean, we did the same exercise earlier, and number one for me was Mahomes. If he's sacked one or less times in this game, I think Kansas City wins that. If that's how the pass protection is going to be, where he only gets sacked once, I love their chances.
You always have to have these qualifiers with Mahomes because people are just so scared to say what they want to say. And what everyone really wants to say in the back of their mind is Patrick Mahomes might be the greatest football player of all time. Like, that's starting to become more and more real as he continues to have success here. And if you look at this game, you're right. The 49ers 1-53, no doubt, more talented of a team. But Mahomes, as far as to the rest of the players in this game, Mahomes may end up at the end of his career in the top five, top 10 players ever. I don't think anyone else in this game
Not
could
quarterbacks,
say that.
Ever.
I don't know if anyone else in this game could say that. And I like George Kittle. I like Travis Kelce. I like Tyreek Hill. Are they going to be in the top 10 players ever? Probably not. Probably not. Mahomes could say that. And so, again, it's remarkable to me how many people are continuing to pick the 49ers when you are going against the equivalent right now of, like, the NFL's Michael Jordan or LeBron James. Like, that's who Patrick Mahomes is.
I can't. Yes. And that was, I mean, we've had, you know, most people have picked. Most national guys, I'd say a 70% national rate on this show have chosen the 49ers. And I always go back to, like, the thing that stops me is, yesterday in Rappaport, sits down to open the show. We're like, all right, you know, Brand Cato's Catering. We need your pick of the game. And he goes, he's like, look, if you're making me choose a game in which I'm choosing Patrick Mahomes is going to let them lose, nah. Like,
right, exactly.
Nope.
I think
we're not going to do that.
We're at the point where I don't know how you bet against Mahomes. He's becoming one of those players. To me, it's going to look foolish when people try to outsmart themselves right. over the years with the Patriots and picking against Brady. We're already heading in that direction, and I think we're here, honestly, when it comes to Mahomes the same way.
Here's what happened, I think, nationally. Lamar Jackson went wild this year, and he deserves all the credit. He should be the MVP. He's going to
be. He had an amazing year.
Tomorrow night.
Patrick Mahomes got a little bit forgotten, especially because nationally you don't watch every single Chiefs game. You're not necessarily watching Chiefs Jaguars and Chiefs Titans early on, you know? And I think you just look at the numbers, and they paled in comparison to what some of these other guys was doing.
Sure. But
no one really realizes he was a different player at the beginning of the year with the ankle and the knee. And then all of a sudden he misses two games, so that hurts his numbers as well. At the end of the year, and he said to me, he's like, I'm getting healthy as the year goes on. You look at week 15, week 16 now. He's back to that version that we saw last year. And if you notice, the Chiefs offense reminds you of that 2018 offense where they're scoring at will. Patrick Mahomes, the way he's playing right now, he makes great defenses look below average. I don't only think the Chiefs are going to win this game. I think they're going to win by two touchdowns.
Wow. Two touchdowns.
Bold. Bold, Pete.
I don't think it's that bold. And that's what I think is wild about it.
So you're hammering that one, that minus one.
Oh, my God. I mean, if you are have a betting site, you have a bookie, lay more points. Go go Chiefs minus 9.5. Do me a favor.
So at least I can buy up some points, Pete.
Well, yeah, you get some good odds.
Get some good odds on
yourself. Buy seven.
I just – the only times in this postseason the Chiefs have punted have come on dropped balls. That's it.
Yes.
And I'm not like actually making that stat up. I'm telling you for a fact that the only time the Chiefs have punted on offense this postseason is when someone dropped a first down pass. The only other time they didn't score is when they were kneeling to end the game on a drive. They have scored on every single drive that wasn't a drop pass that eventually ended it, which means they're having 100% success rate right now. Which is weird, and a bunch of them are touchdowns. It's not just field goals we're talking here.
Right. Remember when Earl Thomas was like, I'm going to guard the whole field. They're not going to beat me deep. So it's like, well, you're one player. And that's what the Chiefs are clicking right now, because you have Tyreek Hill and you have Travis Kelce, which require extra attention. What has suddenly be changed into the X factor is not only has Mahomes gotten more confident in his offensive line, he's gotten more confident to run. And if he can run, there's no answer. There just is no answer. It doesn't matter what defense you have. You could have the Chicago Bears.
Because you can't afford to leave them back there. You have to let them run versus leave people uncovered.
Right. And I just think because of the season-long numbers, Mahomes playing like it's 2018 has just gotten lost. It really has gotten lost. And I think the 49ers are in for a reminder, I think, coming up on Sunday. And if the Chiefs' defense can just play well at the beginning of this game, who knows? This may get out of hand rather quickly.
You do think that the least – because every time, like, when I – I don't remember who it picked the 49ers to win in a blowout because, I don't know, other Niners teams from,
Dilfer.
Like, 1875. Because
he's an average quarterback. He said, I've seen average quarterbacks win before.
Dilfer. The least likely result is that Chiefs getting blown out. That is by far the least likely result.
Well, Patrick Mahomes in his, 2 years right. in the one game has never lost more
doesn't
than
get blown
a touchdown.
Out.
And then one score. He refuses to let the team get blown out. And Andy Reid, I think, is owed some credit in that as well. They're always within reach. They may lose a few games here and there, especially, again, at the beginning of the season when they were figuring out man coverage. Mahomes was a little bit injured. And, okay, whatever. But it's never they're never embarrassed. And to think that that's going to happen on Sunday – when this team has been locked in, like they've been so locked in that Andy Reid earlier this month was saying be in warm weather shape. Like he was that confident that they would be here.
Imagine starting that a month ago.
Do extra conditioning so you're ready for 60, 70 degrees. Like that's how confident this team has been since a month ago.
This portion of our coverage from Miami brought to you by Thoroughbred Ford and CBiz. Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride joining us here on Radio Row from the TicketSolutions.com table. We've talked a lot about offense here. On the defensive side for Kansas City, what concerns you the most in terms of their coverage? I guess really for me, I'm wondering how they approach George Kittle. Do you think it's going to be a Tyrann Mathieu on Kittle situation? How do you think this impacts, if it is Mathieu on Kittle, are you concerned at all with if it's Breland, for example, that's kind of guarding Sanders?
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be like a follow situation, but I think they're going to give extra help to Kittle because you have to, right? So Mathieu will be involved in that. I wonder all of a sudden the resurgent Dirty Dan. I wonder if he has some involvement.
Matthew sent out that photo of him doing some extra studying.
Making sure, yeah.
Hey, respect, actually. Yeah. I'm joking about it, but it's fine. It's good. It's good, but he's studying.
Yeah, I think you see some extra attention paid to George Kittle. You're not going to want to let him beat you. And I think the bigger issue that I have, if there's anything that really bothers me about this game, it's the idea of keeping the ball out of Mahomes' hands and limiting possessions. So that means a successful run game. Like, the run game for the 49ers is historic, right? We're in this age of throwing the football, and you're seeing more and more teams trend in that direction, and they're going the other way, where you have all these different running back looks. They have three options at running backs. You don't know who's going to be running the football when, these two running back sets, and it's confusing. And if the linebackers aren't gap sound, if they get a little confused, if Frank Clark and Terrell Suggs and Tano don't set the edge, and then all of a sudden you have these 8 and 9 minute possessions for the 49ers, and you have a game in which it's one possession in the fourth quarter, that's how maybe you end up losing this football game. Could be another situation where the 49ers have the ball last. Again, I don't foresee that, but if there's anything that concerns me, it's that type of game where you see a Mostert get 200 yards in these long, long possessions.
Is this going to be the last game for Chris Jones as a Chief?
Well,
Let me rephrase. I almost said, not ever. That would be kind of lunacy, but as a Chief.
Yeah, I was about to say, is he going to fall off the face of the earth?
He's riding into the sunset.
I spearheaded this article yesterday. I got a little grief from it because fans were upset that I was bringing up this could be his last game before the game. But it's true, and I think it's a storyline.
We would talk about that in baseball. Why are football fans so weird about saying it might be their last game?
I think Chiefs fans are just so intensely focused on this.
They can't hear the rest.
I mean, it's been 50 years. So from 0 to 50, whatever age Chiefs fan you are, you haven't seen this ever in your life. So I understand, and I get that, you know, the blowback from it. But I asked him, and I said, you know, Chris, do you want to be here in Kansas City? And he's like, without a doubt. I mean, I love playing for the Chiefs. I love the idea that the fans have bought into what I provide, the energy and things like that. And I believe him. And the thing that it's going to come down to, and it should be interesting to see how this plays out after the game, is his representation. I just don't think they're going to let him come back to Kansas City for less than he's worth. And so that may change things. What do I think is going to happen right now? I think after this game, he'll be franchised and then moved for picks. I just think that's the most likely scenario, and I know that's unfortunate to a lot of Chiefs fans. And I think winning the Super Bowl changes that a little bit too, because if you win a championship, you maybe take the risk and say, let's get the picks, let's reinvest in our future, because we got that title. I think even with or without Chris Jones, because you have Mahomes, you'll be able to be in Super Bowl contention each and every year. So, again, it just depends how it shakes out. I don't think Chris Jones is going to take less than he's worth, you know, to stay with Mahomes like we might have heard from Sammy Watkins on the drive. And so that changes things.
I was going to where I was headed next was with Sammy Watkins. It seems to me, at least, it's almost the opposite effect. I totally agree with what you said about Chris Jones and winning a Super Bowl maybe makes it easier for you to move on to some extent. On the opposite end, if Sammy Watkins wins the Super Bowl on Sunday, it seems more likely that he would be willing to maybe restructure something and take a significant pay cut and stay in Kansas City and ride this thing out the rest of his career.
Yeah, the only part of that news yesterday that BK was able to get from Watkins was the fact that he would sit out a year.
Which is bizarre, right?
Yeah, it is bizarre. The idea that he would restructure is not a surprise to me because from all the people I've talked to in Kansas City, he has found this peace with the city, and he really likes his family. He really likes being there. It's quiet, and I think that part of it, like, he's made his money. I mean, of course, you want to make a certain amount of money, but you have enough now for everything you wanted. Your family is taken care of. Why not be happy? And all he wants to do is win. I think you saw in his Buffalo days and a little bit in L.A., but more so Buffalo, where he wanted the football. He wanted to be that star player. He really doesn't care about that anymore. Like, every time you go up to him, it's like, I just want to win football games. And if you want to win and you like the city and your family's happy, why not make a career out of being with who could, again, be potentially the greatest quarterback of all time 15 years
from
now?
It was just weird.
Yeah, if you take $8 million a year, I mean, that's still pretty good money.
Right.
And he's made a lot already. It's not like he's...
It's just a weird thing to say 3 days before the Super Bowl or 4 days before the Super Bowl. That he's not focused in. He's had a great postseason, so clearly he's focused
in.
But
it seemed result-dependent, too, which was, if we win one here, I just might take a year off. It's like, what?
But okay. You know that, admittedly, in the number of times you talk to Sammy Watkins, he's different.
He's a deep thinker.
Yeah,
the reptilian thing,
ethereal chain of thoughts that we can't possibly connect.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I took away from that is he's just not ruling anything out.
Yes.
And this is a player, too, who, don't forget, came into training camp and said, I'm as healthy as I ever been. I'm not getting injured this year. And then he got injured. And so I wonder if he's like, okay, why don't I just take a year off, and then maybe I'll come back if I feel that desire. And if you take a year off, your body probably resets itself a little bit. That's why I think, like, even Eric Berry is so intriguing. Like, I wonder what's going to happen in the offseason with him. Is his body suddenly ready for football again? Because, you know, you were off it for a year. That changes things. And we saw a little bit of that with Adrian Peterson, where he's been able to sustain a career now into an age where running backs typically don't, because he did get that time off. Again, not by choice, but he did get that time off. Yeah.
Our coverage brought to you by TicketSolutions.com and Villa St. Francis Skilled Nursing.
Now let's also get our Brancato's Catering prediction from one Pete Sweeney. You already kind of told us
Chiefs
two touchdowns,
60.
So what's the score? How's this going on Sunday?
42-28. I think this is a game that goes back and forth a little bit early on. Then in the second quarter, you see the Chiefs take a 7-0 lead. Again, a little bit more back and forth in the third, and then they pull away. I really think this is going to be a game where Chiefs fans aren't sweating in the fourth quarter. It's just you'll be counting down the clock at P&L for that celebration, and we'll be down here in Miami. So if you are at P&L, have a couple of those big old tall boys for us.
Can we get a drink at like
three? They're not going to be $40 mojitos in Kansas City, right? They won't be those.
Oh, man, live and learn. You know, that's something that's something you take down with yourself. You head to South Beach. If you're ready for a 40-ounce mojito, get ready to pay $1 per ounce.
That's right. We need to get some advice for Pete. We've been sending out to the text line for a while. I said a couple weeks ago, if the Chiefs win, I'd be willing to do just about anything.
Okay.
Of course, Cody jumped
on
that.
Cool, let's talk about the things you'll do.
We've been taking submissions. By the end of today's show, we've got to find out what my reward or punishment.
I'm calling it a reward. The Chiefs win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Okay. So do you have an idea of something I would need to do? I mean, we've had stuff from shaving, you know, shaving legs, waxing legs, shaving head,
shaving Binkley's
standing
back
on the corner. Yeah, shaving Binkley's back.
That'd be gross.
Yeah, it would be not piercing
and no
your
one
belly button.
That.
Someone else said shots of ketchup, 15 shots. Does one come to mind for you?
Yes, right away.
Let's hear it.
It's whatever the equivalent of be with your head of hair to the Mahomes haircut. So you would have to get, like, the shaved sides, curly mohawk.
Wow.
You got a permit.
That's more exciting than just having somebody shave my hair off.
No, you have to go get it, and it needs to be curly. There's a ton of product out there. Trust me, I use a little bit of paste in this mane up here.
Yeah.
You can get it curly, and it could look as close to it, and you'd have to dye it, like, that jet black
that
he has, too.
Can we permit?
Yeah. For
There's no way it's going to be curled otherwise. I think we'd have to.
It's the curled mohawk look.
Somebody has to pay for the perm. Perms aren't cheap.
I'm sure we can find a sponsor to take care of this. That probably wouldn't be a problem.
Go to Mahomes Barber and see if you can. I know that.
I live right by there. I know exactly where it's at.
There's been Dieter and Mahomes that both go, and they got the same haircut, and they got a whole thing going on.
Come on, man. Mention for a haircut for our guy.
I'm not worried about paying for it. I'm sure if we brought this idea, they'd get plenty of pub out of it.
Bob Fesco has it. He says he's paying for everything.
Yes.
That's right. Fitz.
Paying for Fitzpatrick to come, put him up, and have them bang the drum, whatever that costs. We'll pay for their haircut.
Great.
Bob, if you're listening, I mean, I could use a car payment or two, so just let me know.
Pete Sweeney, Arrowhead Pride, I know you're busy. What can people expect here throughout the rest of the weekend for you guys?
Yeah, it's been wild up here, so we're trying to put up as much content as we can. John Dixon, my deputy editor, has been doing a great job sort of running the website from home as I run around Miami, but we'll have you covered the rest of the weekend. There's no media availability moving forward, so we'll have a few articles that we put up. And then on game day, follow us on Instagram. I'll be doing a story, you know, as we go into Super Bowl game day. You can check that out. And, again, our Twitter at Arrowhead Pride. You can follow me at PG Sween. And then arrowheadpride.com. That's going to be our main hub. So we're excited about it. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for a really long time. And, you know, and I just want to say to Kansas City, my last chance here on 610 before Sunday, just enjoy it. I mean, this is going to be one of the better weekends, I feel like, of your life. So have fun.
No question about that. That's Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride. All our guests are brought to you by Rufus Teague Barbecue. Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, Danny Welniak expected to stop by from KCTV 5. And what would a Super Bowl win mean for you? We'll open up the phones and hear from you next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.